Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Central Time, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question, if there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And yesterday, of course, we talked about the retirement of our Billy Rayburn from Basic Gospel, and today is that day. Now, you guys have your own thoughts about this retirement, but for me, I'm happy for Billy and for Rusty, but it's kind of a sad thing to know that I'm not going to see her smiling face and hear that warm greeting every day when I come into these offices. So I'm really going to miss Billy.
Indeed. Well, we all are. That is for sure. She's been here 22 years. It's just been steady and faithful and has just extended love, the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ to so many people around this country. And she's just been a genuine godsend. And we are blessed to have her, have been blessed to have her, but excited about her next phase in life. And I know she is as well.
She already has closets to clean out.
That's right. That's right. And we certainly appreciate all of our listeners who have reached out to her and said congratulations. That has been so meaningful and has just made that smile on her face even bigger.
Yeah.
So it's just great. Like we said yesterday, ministry is all about people, and it's just great to work shoulder to shoulder with people like Billy Rayburn.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bob, this month we've been talking all about eternal security. It's our number one topic that we address on Basic Gospel. Yeah. Why is that so? Because it's the number one thing that people are concerned with as far as their relationship with Christ is concerned. They want to know for sure that they are saved. And the world and their own, sin, those acts of sins kind of tell them a different story. And of course there's the enemy and he's telling a different story. And sometimes it's easy to doubt. Sometimes it's easy to worry. Sometimes it's easy to even get into self-pity and depression and those sort of things because you're not sure that you're eternally saved.
Right.
And this month, if you've listened carefully, hopefully you've come to that point where you know. Yeah. If not, we're going to give one final push on this. Of course, we'll be picking this up all the time moving forward. But one final push this month, and we're going to go back to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 13, just three verses. And these verses are verses you should mark in your Bible. And if you can, memorize them. Let them become a part of your just thinking. And here's what these verses say, and this is the testimony. So God has a testimony concerning his son, and that's how I view the Bible. It is God's testimony concerning his son from start to finish. So God is giving us some information about himself that's been revealed to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Well, here's the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his son.
Right.
So eternal life is bound up in the person of Jesus Christ. There is no eternal life outside of him. So we talk about Christianity being exclusive. And that is one of the criticisms of the skeptics. They are constantly saying that there's many ways to God. Why are you Christians saying that there's only one way to God? Well, one, because Jesus said that. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. So since he is God in the flesh, or was God in the flesh, he's not going to lie, so we have to believe him. But this really gives us some more insight as to why that claim is so exclusive. And God says that this life, this eternal life, is in his son. It is not in religious belief systems. It's not in human philosophies. It's not in anything that we come up with as human beings. Life, eternal life, is in Jesus alone. So if you want eternal life, if you want to know God the Father, there is only one place to go for that to happen, and that's Jesus Christ. Why? Yeah. He's the only one that has life in himself. Mm-hmm. So that's the testimony. This life is in his Son. So whoever has the Son has life. So if you've received Jesus Christ, you've received eternal life. They are one in the same.
Yeah.
As Paul wrote in Colossians, when Christ, who is your life, appears. So when you believe this gospel message, you receive Jesus. He gives you his very life. And so whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's just very clear, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, and very simple.
Yes.
Now, why do we make it so hard? I mean, if you don't think you're saved and you don't know Jesus, you don't have the Son of God, well, let's fix that. Yeah.
Receive him today.
Yeah.
That is the offer. That is the message. There's life. It's in Jesus. Now, all of us as human beings know that there's something wrong with us. Mm-hmm. There's something missing inside of us. We try to fill that emptiness through everything imaginable, through money, through relationships, through power, through status, through things, through vacations, through travel. Mm-hmm. You just name it. We seek after those things in hopes that those things will fill the void in our heart. Well, what's missing is life, and there's only one place to find life, and that's in Jesus. So if you're in that position where you're searching, you're seeking, you want to fill that void inside of you, let today be the day that your search ends.
Yes.
And listen to the testimony of God, receive the testimony of God, and receive life through faith in Jesus Christ. Whoever has the Son has life. Do you want the Son? If so, you're going to get eternal life, and that emptiness inside is going to go away. So if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. Now, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So why did John write this little section? To give us assurance of salvation, to erase those doubts and those fears and those worries and those concerns, and to anchor us in the truth, the fact that if we have the Son, we have eternal life. God wants us to know that we know that we know, so that we can truly live out who we are as Yes. children of God in this world of darkness. So do you have the Son? Well, if you do, you have eternal life, and we pray that this passage will bring you to that point where you know that you know that you know.
And in connection to everything Bob has just been sharing with us, today is the final day of the offer to our donors of a series that Bob and Richard have produced to address this extremely important subject to Christian and non-Christian alike. It's the issue of where will we reside in eternity and the assurance we can have in that regard. Richard, give us your final thoughts on the subject, on this final day of the offer for the series Eternal Security.
Well, if you have any doubt at all about your assurance, your eternal life, the guaranteed future that we're promised in Jesus, get this DVD.
Yeah.
It will be worth it for you. I mean, we look at the key issues. There's three of them. I won't go into it here again. We talked about it yesterday. But if you listen to this, look up those texts, and ask the Spirit to confirm for you, you will have assurance.
Yeah.
No doubt. It's worth whatever you give us, it's worth getting this product.
Yeah.
I beg you, if you've got any question at all, get this product today.
Yeah, and let me jump in and say something about this. This is a DVD. There's three messages. Each one's about 20 minutes long. It is a great tool for a Bible study.
Yes.
If you wanted to gather a group of people and really talk about the gospel, really talk about the grace of God, this is a great way. Just put in the DVD, watch one message, and then talk about it. Go into the Bible, look at those passages, talk about it. Boy, you will just love the interaction, and I guarantee you at the end of it, you will have a group of people that
yes.
are firmly standing in their assurance of salvation, knowing that they truly are eternally secure.
Indeed. And friends, don't miss this offer. It's the final day that you'll receive this three-message series on eternal security when you make your February gift to Basic Gospel. Now, just a point of clarification. It's not that we want only our donors to have the series. It will be available for purchase after today. It's just that Basic Gospel wants to say thank you to those who do give of their resources in February by sending this this series to you free of charge. But today, it's the final day of the offer. It ends at midnight tonight. So click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, of course, you can go to basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Eternal Security. But be sure also to do this no later than midnight tonight when this offer ends. Well, guys, we had a question from Katie, and let me get to it here on the computer. The question is, when we come to Christ by faith and receive the Holy Spirit, does he permanently reside in us because of the change in covenants? If so, how do we address those who think they need to continually ask God to fill them with the Spirit like in the Old Testament?
Well, it's interesting. There are two separate issues there. Mm-hmm. So when we come to Christ, Christ comes to live inside of us. He permanently dwells within us.
Yes.
And he does so through the Spirit. So we have been given the gift of God's Spirit, and God's Spirit lives inside of us. So that's one thing, and that's a permanent dwelling place for Christ himself, for the Spirit himself. Now, to be filled, that's a different story. To be filled is a word that means really to be controlled by. So we want our decisions, our actions, all of those things to be controlled by the Spirit of God, which means that we're going to be controlled by the love of God. So our decisions will be a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. So that's what it means to be filled. So we're permanently indwelt by the Spirit of God. That's never going to change. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, the Holy Spirit is there. So if we're going through a rough patch, we're being inundated by the desires of the flesh, and we're weak and we give in to those things, that doesn't change the truth that God's Spirit still resides mm-hmm. in us, that Jesus Christ still resides in us. It just simply means that we have made a decision to give in to the desires of the flesh. Now, what is the Spirit of God going to do? Well, since he indwells us, he's going to carry out his work within us. Well, what is that? He's going to remind us that we're children of God. So the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness with our human spirit that we truly are children of God. And so in light of that truth, we can look at what we just did and say, that doesn't match this new identity I have. That doesn't match what God's Spirit is working inside of me. So then you say, well, what do I do about it? Well, you allow the Spirit of God to work inside of you. So if you've wronged somebody, you step out in faith and you forgive, or you ask for forgiveness so that you can be reconciled to that person. And that's an action that is being controlled by the love of God. So this filling, which Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 3 and also in Ephesians 5, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's kind of a moment by moment thing. And it's possible because the Spirit indwells us permanently. Mm-hmm. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit never came inside of a person.
No.
He came upon a person for a particular purpose. He came on Saul as he was anointed king, and then he left Saul, mm-hmm. and he came upon David. But it was an external thing. For us, it's an internal thing. God's Spirit has come to live inside of us. He resides there permanently, eternally. And because of that, we can depend upon him. And as we do, we'll see this filling this controlling of every area of our life by the very love of God.
Yes, yeah. There was a little piece on that question that I think needs to be corrected. We don't have the Spirit indwelling us because of the new covenant. We have the Spirit indwelling us because of the victory of Jesus Christ.
Sure.
The new covenant also exists because of the victory of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not the cause, it's the result, because
right.
God decided to make a covenant with himself mm-hmm. and make it true for us.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. If it's 15 past the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we have an open line for you right now, 844-322-2742. Guys, I got a voicemail from a sweet-sounding lady in Canada earlier today who says that she hears the broadcast at 6 p.m. in her hometown in Alberta, Canada. And she rightly spoke that she is able to call at 3 p.m. Central Time and hear her question later in the day at 6 p.m. when we come
yes.
on the air. So that's an interesting way for our listeners who hear the delayed broadcast to do that. So if you call right now during the live broadcast and later when we air the program on your station, you'll be able to hear your voice, your call, and the answer to your question. In the meantime, 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6 speaks of some kind of test, and that's a question from Bob. He wants to know what this test is. He says he believes that it's Jesus Christ in you, but he assumes that that happens at conversion. What do you say?
Well, it's a great passage of Scripture. I love this passage. He's saying to those folks in Corinth, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talked to the Corinthians about all of their myriad problems, and they had a bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, they were divided. They were the haves and the have-nots, and they treated each other in horrible ways. Some followed Peter, some followed Paul, some followed Apollos, some followed Jesus. There was just all kinds of divisions within that group. There was sexual immorality, gross sexual immorality. They were taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Just all sorts of things were happening. And Paul was giving them some truth and saying, hey, remember this, you were a part of the world system. You were involved in all of these gross things, but now you've been washed. Now you've been sanctified. Now you've been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So he's trying to bring them back to the basics, back to the truth of the gospel. And then when he gets to the very end of you know, what we know of as his second letter, it could have been his third or his fourth letter, based on some different historical things that have been uncovered of late. But he gets to the end of it, and he says, I want you to step back and ask yourself, do you really belong to the Lord? Have you really allowed the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ do something inside of you? Or have you just merely given lip service to this message? And if you've just given lip service, then you failed the test. Christ hasn't come to live inside of you. But if you fully trusted, have put your full weight of trust in Jesus, then Jesus has come to live inside of you. So he's saying to examine yourselves. If you failed the test, don't beat yourself up about it. Receive the Lord.
Yeah.
Quit just giving lip service to it and truly see this gospel message for what it is. Truly see this life that is being offered to you through faith in Jesus, and receive him.
Yeah.
Believe and receive so that Christ can come and live inside of you. That's all he's talking about there.
Yeah, and when he follows on in verse 6 and 7, he really lays this out there. This is about Jesus, not about me, Paul, and the guys that are hanging out with me. Whether I do the right thing or the wrong thing, what we want you to do is to fix your eyes on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
pass this test, ignore us.
Yeah. Yes.
Ignore us. Pay attention to Jesus alone.
Because the connection is between you and the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord died for your sins. The Lord was buried, putting an end to your old way of life. The Lord was raised so that he could raise you to walk in the newness of life and then add you to the body of Christ so that you could take up your place and function as the part of the body that God has called you to be.
Yes.
So that's how this thing works. And when we see it in its glory and its wonder and its awesomeness, man, it melts our hearts and it brings unity. It really erases all those lines of division. It kills the hostility in our hearts, and it focuses on things above, not things below. And it's just so wonderful.
Yes, indeed. Well, we had this question from Tom. He says, I've read through Proverbs many, many times to gain some wisdom until I read that Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, ended up worshiping foreign gods. How did he, who was so wise, do this? I will have to say that now when I hear someone quoting Proverbs, my first thought is, look what happened to Solomon. Was it because he didn't have the Holy Spirit to free him from the power of sin? Help me regain my former hunger to glean wisdom from Proverbs.
That's a great question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And Solomon, he did kind of have a half heart.
Yeah.
You know, David had a heart after God, a full heart after God. Solomon kind of had a half heart. And he said he wanted to try everything out in the world, and he did.
He did.
And that's where he gained wisdom. That's where he saw kind of the vanity and the emptiness of life apart from a relationship with God. And so those things that he says in the book of Proverbs really relate to that. And in
Ecclesiastes.
Yeah. So he did gain wisdom.
Yes.
And that's exactly what he prayed for. Make me wise. And God gave him that wisdom. So we can trust that what he penned, it was under the inspiration of God's Spirit. So God moved him to write these words. So this isn't Solomon's wisdom that is being passed on. This is really wisdom that has come from God.
Yes.
And that is flowing through him onto these pages.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you step back and realize that this isn't Solomon, this isn't just him speaking. This is him speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that he is providing wisdom from God. Now, what we need to understand, that wisdom has all been distilled down into one person, and that person is Jesus. So Paul in 1 Corinthians writes that Jesus, that we are all in Jesus, who has come for us wisdom from God.
Yeah.
So everything that Solomon learned, he wrote down, but that really focuses forward to the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
All of the wisdom of God resides right there in him.
You got something else to talk about here.
Do I?
You do. Eternal security.
Eternal security. We want you to have it. Well, if you're in Christ, you already have eternal security. We want you to have the assurance that you indeed have eternal security, and that's why we put together this great resource just for you called Eternal Security. It's yours for a gift to Basic Gospel this month.
Yes, indeed.
Did
Friends,
I do that okay?
You did. Thank you.
Okay.
On short notice, yeah. Join us, friends. Help us get this message out far and wide. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. Canadian friends, please visit basicgospel.net/Canada to make your gift. And remember, today is the final day to request your copy of our series, Eternal Security, and as you make your February gift to support Basic Gospel. But this offer ends tonight at midnight, so be sure to take advantage of that. A reminder, too, that the listener line is always open for any question you might have. That number is 844-322-2742. Call anytime, day or night. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, and with a final goodbye to the retiring Billy Rayburn, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow as we continue on our study of Ephesians here on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.